Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com, and we both welcome you back to The New World Next Week, which, of course, you can find everything you need and want at NewWorldNextWeek.com. I was away last week, so I am glad to be back with you, James. And I find it really interesting in a week that saw the same sort of psyop glitches plague the launch of an online video game and so-called affordable healthcare. I think it's appropriate that we'll begin with an intersection of sort of us and them and a different kind of government shutdown that went down in the sci-fi section of the San Francisco Library. Feds raid online drug market Silk Road. U.S. law enforcement officials have shut down Silk Road, the online drug market, following a raid and an arrest of Ross William Ulbricht, the site's alleged proprietor. According to a Justice Department release, Ulbricht, 29, was arrested in San Francisco and will be presented in San Francisco federal court. The person who ran the site, he was always known as Dread Pirate Roberts. Now that the arrest has happened, we know his name is Ross William Ulbricht. In addition to arresting Ulbricht, the FBI seized approximately $3.6 million in bitcoins, making it the second biggest seizure in the digital currency's history. Federal prosecutors in New York charged Ulbricht with narcotics trafficking conspiracy, computer hacking conspiracy, and money laundering conspiracy. A criminal complaint also alleges that in March 2013, Ulbricht engaged in a murder-for-hire scheme where he enlisted one Silk Road user to murder another user who was threatening to release the identities of all the website's users. The operation that led to Ulbricht's arrest was a collaboration between the FBI, police, and prosecutors in the fantastic Southern District of New York. Since November 2011, agents claim to have made over 100 different drug purchases through Silk Road. The complaint estimates that Silk Road has processed transactions worth over a total of 9.5 million bitcoins, which adds up to roughly $1.2 billion in sales. James, this is an interesting intersection of the cyberspace war, as I call it, as well as the drug war. So what is your take on the Silk Road takedown?
Well, I'll tell you what I think this is really about underneath this story, because, of course, this is one of those busts that they like to roll out to get the kind of prurient interest and say, oh, look at what these nasty people are doing on the internet black market. Of course, they're murdering for hire, and they're shipping drugs all over the place and all of this. And this is meant to be the big rollout to make sure that the grandmas and grandpas who have no idea about anything on the internet know that there's a lot of bad stuff happening there. But the word of the day, I think, is agorism. And this is basically the idea that instead of fighting the powers that be by protesting Washington or whatever, the real way to get around their system is to participate in the black market, in the shady areas that are outside of the reach of the economic system that they have. And this is a developed philosophy. You can read about agorism, and I think that ultimately this is what it's really about. The government hates to have competitors to their monopoly of thug power, so whenever they see a chance to swoop in with a bust, that's a golden opportunity for them. So regarding the Silk Road, I've never used it. I don't particularly care about that particular instantiation, but I think it's about a bigger idea, and it's about trying to shut down any avenue for participating in an economy that doesn't have something to do with their phony baloney fiat money that they print out of their posteriors and force on the rest of us. So I think that this is about a much bigger issue, and I hope that this does not silence the space for agorism and the exploration of alternative economies online.
I was not thinking about this, James, until you just kind of spoke about it. I guess I find it interesting as well, in a week that saw the grand finale of the most popular TV show in America called Breaking Bad, which is all about crystal meth. And I've always found the crackdown on crystal meth kind of interesting in a way, because it's something that you can make out of a bunch of crap in your kitchen, which, what better way than to cut out the government drug dealers than to sort of make your own drugs? So in a way, that's just another kind of interesting intersection. And we'll include links to agorism as well as some of the other stories. And I think, I believe I was reading somewhere that some of the first places they heard talk about this was maybe Adam Kokesh. So we'll kind of include some of those links to check everything out. James, our second story is a strange one, and I put it out on Twitter at Media Monarchy. Popular fast food chain Yoshinoya to grow food 60 miles from Fukushima. A Japanese fast food chain has announced plans to grow rice and vegetables on a farm 60 miles from the crippled Fukushima power plant, site of the world's worst nuclear disaster since Chernobyl in 86. Yoshinoya Holdings, which sells gyodon, a stewed beef over rice, has formed a joint venture with local farmers to grow onions, cabbage, and rice for use in outlets across the country. About 160,000 people nearest the plant were ordered to move out, and the government established a 12-mile compulsory evacuation zone after the earthquake and tsunami in March 2011 caused reactor meltdowns and contaminated water, vegetables, and air. The crops will be grown in Shirakawa, to the southwest of the plant. The company said, Yoshinoya said, it would ensure that the vegetables were safe. They said in a statement, quote, "We will employ local people in the factory. We think this will lead to support for reconstruction." James, this seems too strange for words.
Strange isn't the word that I would use, but gyudon, James, gyudon. Yes, this is basically the Japanese McDonald's. It's beef on rice. It's a kind of standard Japanese fast food thing here. This is the kind of the biggest such chain that's all across Japan. So it's a place that I've been to before. I eat there maybe once a year. But never again, anyway. I think there's a good and a bad thing from this story that we can take away. The good is that at least they've announced this openly so that we know about it and consumers can make an informed decision never to eat there again. But I think the bad news might be that if other companies see this, of course, they will never actually make a big press release out of it. And hey, we're getting our food from Fukushima. I think the takeaway from this for the other fast food restaurants and other restaurant chains will be, hey, you can source cheap food from Fukushima, just don't tell anybody about it. That's what I worry about. That's, I think, the major concern here, because as I've said many times, I think the big concern for us in Japan is the food and sourcing food locally as much as possible. So that's why we're part of a green cooperative here that has very strict guidelines about where they get their food from, and they do radiation testing in-house and all of that stuff. So that's what we're doing on our side. Another important story and a positive story that's just broken that I've put up on FukushimaUpdate.com, the ex-Japanese Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi, who is a very popular prime minister in his time, enjoyed over 80% approval ratings, but was staunchly pro-nuclear and part of the kind of conservative Japanese wing, because I think they're both pretty conservative. But he was staunchly pro-nuclear during his tenure as prime minister in the middle part of last decade, and he just came out in a speech in Nagoya the other day saying that he wants Japan to adopt a zero nuclear policy. And he still has quite a bit of political weight and gravitas behind him, so that might signal a shift in the political tide here. Who knows? I'm not sure Shinzo Abe is going to turn around on a dime like that and take back his pro-nuclear stance, but at any rate, it is a hopeful sign, and I think this is the most high-profile figure we've seen make a 180 on the issue so far, so it is a sign that anti-nuclear sentiment really is growing here, and it's really, again, just a question of whether the people are going to press forward on this and really get rid of the nuclear cancer from this island.
Meanwhile, here on the west coast of America, I think the headlines show we're bracing ourselves for another powerful wave of radiation to hit here on the west coast. So again, this Fukushima story, James, we've now essentially been talking about for 2.5 years, and we've covered it, I think, from many, many different angles, and it's probably the sort of one story that we've returned to time and time again, because I think it helps shine a light on a lot of different areas, unfortunately, for as bad as that is. I think we can kind of learn things from it, hopefully. Having said that, James, we will go out with something from the Department of the Bleeding Obvious, as you put it, from the Beeb. Exercise can be good as pills. Exercise can be as good a medicine as pills for people with conditions such as heart disease, a study has found. From the British Medical Journal, looking at hundreds of trials involving nearly 340,000 patients to assess the merits of exercise and drugs in preventing death. Physical activity rivaled some heart drugs and outperformed stroke medicine. The findings suggest exercise should be added to prescriptions, say the researchers. They stressed that patients should not ditch their drugs for exercise. Rather, they should use both in tandem. Now, again, this is coming from the BBC, so they note, too few adults currently get enough exercise. Only a third of people in England do the recommended 2.5 hours or more of moderate intensity activity, such as cycling or fast walking, every week. In contrast, James, prescription drug rates continue to rise. So I find this one interesting, James, because as we were away last week, I was actually visiting family in New Mexico. And we went on an epic road trip, which was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of beautiful parts of America that I've never seen before, driving through Oregon and Idaho and Utah and Colorado and New Mexico. Had a lot of great times. The one thing I wasn't able to do was to go run, which if we've talked about it here before, ever since I've quit smoking, which I'm coming up on 15 months since I quit smoking cigarettes, I've started to run, and I basically run 2 miles every other day. And I know that's not something that's going to make me Jack LaLanne. I do it just to kind of keep the demons away, so to speak. And I've basically now, since we've gotten back late Sunday night, I coined a term and I call it runishment. I'm basically running every single day to make up for the days that I've missed. And my legs are already sore and I'm kind of feeling it. And I'm going to actually immediately go out for my run as soon as we wrap up here. And I think, again, this just kind of speaks to the personal choices that you make. And again, hearing these things, and James, you and I have talked about this on New World Next Week. We talked about it back when we were doing the Food World Order episodes. Dude, I was the guy back in high school that avoided gym class at all costs, and you could find me kind of hiding away trying to read comics or Spin or music magazines. I'm not an athletic guy. I've never been about joining sports team or any of that kind of stuff. But what you and I have talked about over these last now few years is the personal choices that you can kind of make. And I can look at this and go, man, I can go out and run 2 miles every other day and it's not that big a deal. And I love to just be able to put shoes on and run out the door. I don't even take, I don't wear a Walkman or an iPod or anything. To me, it's just all about just kind of getting outside and leaving all that stuff behind. So I'm starting with the man in the mirror, like Michael Jackson says, James.
Well, that's it. And just to put that in perspective, we're recording this. It's got to be, what, 1 a.m. for you by now?
It's 20 of 2 a.m. on October 3rd morning. So, yeah, I work long hours on Ground Zero talk show, and I don't really get home until about after midnight. Fortunately, I live in a nice enough neighborhood to where I can run pretty much kind of freely and not really be all that sketched out. But again, running in the middle of the night is almost an extra level of sort of freedom to it. So I look forward to it, and I feel bad when I miss it.
Well, good on you for that. And well, now you have the BBC's official stamp of approval for your activities, so I guess you can do it with a good conscience. Not much needs to be said about this. I'm sure I could make a million sarcastic comments about the BBC informing us about what's good for us, but I think the viewers will be able to fill that in for themselves. At any rate, it is about personal responsibility and what we can do for ourselves to improve our own health and not waiting for the pharmaceutical medical industrial complex to provide it for us in pill form. So let's just keep doing it, and my hat's off to you for all the diligence that with which you're pursuing your own personal health, and let's all use that as an example in our own lives.
Thanks so much. That means a ton. I mean, when I quit smoking, to have people then come to me and go, man, how did you do it? How's it, to be able to sort of have the script flipped and find myself in a position where I can try in some small way to kind of say, well, here's how it worked for me. Here's what helped or what didn't help is again, ultimately, James, I think what everything we're doing with our respective shows and sites that we've been trying to do these last many now several years is to put the power back into your hands and try and share as much information with each other as we can. I'll just close by saying one of the ways we can also share things on a deprogramming note, is to submit stories on Twitter using hashtag New World next week. Of course, James, you and I look at a lot of news, but we by no means catch every bit of it. So we appreciate any kind of news tips sent our way.
And just one more thing. Tomorrow, my time, Friday here in Japan, I'm going to be recording a podcast with Brock West, who is visiting here in Japan. And we're going to be talking about how to make a podcast, how to make videos, how to run a website. So if anyone has any specific questions they want answered in that podcast, you still have time, still a few hours by the time you see this video. Please get your comments in through the contact form on CorbettReport.com. We'll try to answer all the questions that come in. On that note, I think we're out of time. So, James, thank you again for three great stories.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.